This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. وقال تعالى فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروني ولا تكفرون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, firstly, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're here to discuss about dhikr and how in particular dhikr can bring us close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now what is dhikr? Dhikr literally means remembrance. That's what it all means, just remembrance. Dhikr is whenever my mind, your mind, connects with anyone or anything, where we are in that dhikr, we are in their dhikr. So if if at any moment everyone's got some form of dhikr that's going on in their mind. So some people, they wake up in the morning and their dhikr for the day is going to be university, 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 university. Some people, their dhikr for the day is college, college. Some people, it's exams, exams, exams. Some people, it's money, 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 money. And some other people wake up in the morning and they're like, honey, 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 honey. You know, everyone's got something that's on their mind that's keeping them occupied. And that's your dhikr. You're connecting up with that thing or that person. And that is your dhikr that's keeping you occupied. Now, dhikr of Allah is very different. Dhikrullah, when we're in the dhikr of Allah, is very different, because what we're doing is we are now connecting our minds with Allah. Now, don't forget, dhikr of Allah is basically when the mind connects up with Allah. That has to be, you know, there's a massive process that takes place inside us. It changes us as human beings. When that actually comes about, it changes us, it transforms our insides, it changes our spiritual heart, whenever we get into the dhikr of Allah. And now I'm going to give you different types of dhikr that are there in this, that we can do. However, first it's really important to note that some people think that dhikr is literally when somebody's got the simha or the tasbih and they're rotating the beads and they're saying some words like subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and so on. Some people think that is the only time we do dhikr. That's only a portion of dhikr in our religion. And I want everyone to understand this quite carefully. Dhikr is in every form of worship we have in our religion. So let me give you an example. When we are in salah, when I'm in salah, when you're in salah, salah entirely, in its entirety, is dhikr of Allah. So when I've said Allahu Akbar, that is the dhikr of Allah. Allah is the greatest. Subhanakallahumma. And from there, when I start to praise Allah and Surah Fatiha, I'm praising Allah. And then from there, ruku, Subhan Rabbil Azim, my sustainer, my Lord, is so great. He's so wonderful. He's so great. When I'm saying that in ruku, when I'm saying Subhan Rabbil A'la, it's all the dhikr of Allah. Right down to tahiyya, assalamu alaikum warahmatullah, assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. We are mentioning the name of Allah. It is a total form of dhikr. So dhikr is in every single time we stand up for prayers. Dhikr also is in many other forms of worship. So just a note on that, please. Those of us who've been in a way of just doing our salah very, very just fast without remembering Allah. You know, we've got to really think about us, ourselves, what we're doing. Some people are like, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just get it over and done with. Like, just get to the end of it. That deprivation of dhikr doesn't make it the best of worship that we would have, and we would have made it. And if you look in the Quran, it says, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqimis salah." Allah's told us to recite the book, recite the Quran, and He said, أقم الصلاة, establish prayers. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Salah is the thing that will prevent you from sinning, from obscenity and something which Allah finds foul. Salah will prevent you from that. But then Allah says, ولا ذكر الله أكبر. The dhikr of Allah is greater. What does that mean? Why did Allah mention that there? This is in Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah 29, ayah number 45. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, "Wala dhikrullahi akbar." The dhikr of Allah is greater. Meaning that in your salah, when you do the dhikr of Allah, when you connect your mind with Allah, that is the biggest thing that will stop you from sinning and stop you from going towards foul things. There's a massive process that happens when we use the dhikr in the right way. And Allah has said in the Holy Quran, in Surah Taha, Allah said, "Wa aqimis salata li dhikri." Allah said, "Establish a praise for my remembrance, to remember me." So the whole of salah is supposed to be for the dhikr of Allah. When we are, for example, reciting the Quran, do you realize that the Quran is entirely a dhikr of Allah? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has even named the Quran dhikr. In Surah number 15, ayah number 9, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." In that verse, Allah never said, "I revealed the Quran," though He's talking about the Quran. Allah said, "I revealed the dhikr, I revealed the reminder, I revealed the thing that will make you remember me." Allah has made the Quran an easy way of remembering Allah and an easy way of taking a reflection. Allah says in Surah Qamar, Surah number 54, ayah 17, Allah says, "وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ." Allah says, "I have made the Quran easy as a dhikr, as a remembrance, as a reminder, as a way of taking a lesson from the Quran." So each time when we read in the Quran, you will see every other verse, you'll see the name of Allah Azza wa Jal in there, you'll see the name of Rabb in there, you'll see that, you know, Allah ends the verse with "Wallahu alimun hakim." Allah is the most, you know, He knows everything, He's most wise. "Wallahu sami'un basir." Allah is the one who hears everything, Allah is the one who sees everything. These are all forms of making, all ways of making us remember Allah. So the Quran is entirely a dhikr. So far, salah is entirely dhikr, Quran is entirely dhikr. When we're making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, if you're making dua to Allah, and if you're saying, "Oh Allah, give me this, oh Allah, give me that," if you're making that dua, but the mind is absent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, "La yaqbalullah," Allah does not accept the dua, "min qalbin ghafil," from a person whose mind is absent. So a tip for you is, whenever you're making dua, if you've got into a habit of making the same dua over and over again, it's become robotic for you, after salah, please try and change the order of dua that you make. You know, move the Rabbana Atina first or something, or Rabbana Zalamna next or something, or move when you're saying, "Oh Allah, give me this, oh Allah, give me that." Try and change the order of the things that you ask, because you want to force yourself to think, "I am asking Allah." Because if that part is missing, then the dua won't be accepted. So dhikr, a dua actually is a way of remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we're supposed to remember Allah to make a dua accepted. Another form of dhikr, look, every single ibadah has got dhikr in it. So let's say, for example, fasting. We're fasting right now. So how is fasting a dhikr? Anyone tell me? How do you do dhikr while you're fasting? Anyone? Anyone? Go on. So these are du'as that before you start fasting, after we break the fast. But no, I'm talking about something else. How we do dhikr when we're fasting is, I'll give you an example. You walk in the kitchen, right? And the kitchen is a place of food, it's a place of drink, okay? You go and you look at your fridge, mashallah, your fridge actually looks pregnant. Mashallah, mashallah. You go and you look, you open the door and things are falling out, you know what I'm saying? And you look inside and there's so much food and so much drink, and every single thing is saying to you, eat me, drink me, drink me. Right? But you can't. You look at the tabletop, you look at the dining table, you see that there's a lot of food out there, but you can't drink or eat in the month of Ramadan because Allah is watching me. That's the thing. But it's not about food and drink in Ramadan. In Ramadan, it's supposed to be about my eyes. That I'm not going to see something haram because I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. I'm not going to hear anything haram. I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. I'm not going to walk towards haram because I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. So Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. This is the dhikr of Ramadan. I'm not going to backbite. I'm not going to say anything wrong with my tongue. I'm going to be weary of how am I using my tongue. This is the dhikr of fasting. So when you do so much of that, Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 183, when He told us, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam," when Allah said that, "Oh, you who believe, I've made fasting fard on you," basically in the month of Ramadan, at the end of the verse, Allah said the purpose of fasting is la'allakum tattaqun, so that you can gain something which is called taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is when I've got so much dhikr of Allah going through my mind. Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me, Allah is listening to me, Allah sees me, Allah hears me. When I've got so much of that running through my mind, then the opportunity of sin comes. I find it difficult to sin because Allah is watching me. That is taqwa. That is the whole reason why Allah told us to fast. So the dhikr of Allah in fasting continues, knowing that, look, I can't do all these things because I'm fasting for the sake of Allah. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if somebody just merely keeps to just staying away from just food and drink in the month of Ramadan, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah does not have any need of a person who doesn't stay away from false and idle talk and lying in the month of Ramadan. They don't stay away from that, but they stay away from food and drink. Allah's Messenger says, Allah has no need of such a person staying away from food and drink. Meaning that the purpose of fasting is that we control, we learn how to control ourselves and our desires, we control our anger, we control our emotions through fasting, because it is constantly telling us, Allah is watching me, I can't do this, I can't do that. Anyway, so far I've told you, there is dhikr in salah, there is dhikr in dua, there is dhikr when we recite the Quran, there is dhikr while we're fasting, and of course when we do the tasbih of Allah. So there are certain phrases we have been encouraged by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say as much as we can. Many phrases, I'll say some of these in this talk. But when we do that, we're also in the dhikr of Allah. Now, having said that, there are four different levels of dhikr, and I'm going to go through the different four levels. Each level is going to get higher than the last. Okay, and each level, the new level I'm going to mention, is going to be better than the previous one. So as I'm saying this, I want you just to say the phrases with me so you can remember what the levels of dhikr are. So the lowest level of dhikr is when the tongue is moving but the mind is absent. What did I just say? When the tongue is moving but the mind is absent. This means that a person is, for example, they are, you know, saying something in their salah like Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Their tongue is moving with the praise of Allah, but the mind is totally absent. The tongue is moving by saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, but the mind is absent. For this, you will get reward, but you won't be drawn closer to Allah. You won't draw closer to Allah. You won't feel that closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? But you'll get the reward. You know, I don't know if you've seen some people, they sit down with a pair of beads around, and they start to rotate the pair of beads, and they're still rotating, and they're talking to someone at the same time. I'm kind of thinking that, what in the world is going on, right? What are you doing? Because the thing is, when we are in the dhikr of Allah, we're supposed to have our minds connected. Now, don't get me wrong, you'll get reward for this type of dhikr. So anytime you've done some dua, you've actually stood in salah, you've done some tilawah of the Quran, but your mind wasn't present with Allah, you will still get the reward. Don't get me wrong, you'll get the reward, but you won't get the process, the main purpose of our dhikr that we do in this religion, that main benefit you won't get. So now, that was the first level, which is the tongue is moving and the mind is absent. The next level above that is when the tongue is still, so the tongue is not moving, but the mind is present. Okay, so the example of this is that I just merely think Allah is watching me. I'm not moving my tongue with anything, but I'm just thinking Allah is watching me. Or I'm just thinking of Allah's creation. Right? So, for example, I'm thinking of the stars and I'm amazed at, you know, how Allah created all of that. I'm looking at the mountain, the ocean, I'm looking at Allah's earth, I'm looking at the clouds, how Allah has suspended them in mid-air. And I'm looking at how Allah Azza wa Jalla has created so much of His creation. I could be sitting with a pomegranate in my hand, just opening up and look at it, looking inside and saying how wonderfully Allah has designed that pomegranate inside. I'm just thinking of that. I'm in the dhikr of Allah. I'm now in the second level of dhikr. I get reward for this, and I also come closer to Allah through this. And I also have a massive process happening inside, which I'm going to explain to you in a little while. There's a huge process that happens. So let's quickly go over the two different levels. What's the lowest level? When the tongue is moving, but the mind is absent. What's the second level, the higher one? The tongue is still, but the mind is present. So, you know, you're just looking at something amazing Allah has created. How many of you have actually, you know, stood in front of a mountain and thought, wow, subhanAllah. How many? Put your hands up. Oh, the rest of you get a passport and get out of London and start traveling. The thing is, when you're in front of something like that, it's amazing. And you look at something and you think, wow, Allah is so magnificent. Now, you're in the dhikr of Allah. Okay, now we're going to go a higher level. This one is even better. This one is the third level. When the tongue is moving and the mind is present. Okay, what did I just say? When the tongue is moving and the mind is present. So here is, when I'm in Salah, for example, I'm reading Surah Fatiha and I'm also just thinking Allah is watching me. Or if you know the meanings of Fatiha, if you know the meaning of Subhan Rabbil Azim in Salah, you're thinking of exactly what you're saying. Or by the least, you just think I'm in front of Allah, I am praying. So the tongue is moving, Subhan Rabbil Azim, and I'm thinking Allah is watching me, or I'm thinking that, you know, my Lord, you know, He's so wonderful, the most great, Subhan Rabbil Azim, okay? Or I'm reading my Quran and I'm doing it just for the sake of Allah, I'm thinking of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or I'm doing some tasbih, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, and I'm thinking of Allah. And Subhanallah means how wonderful, how amazing, how glorified, how perfect Allah is. Alhamdulillah, and I'm actually thanking Allah, but I'm also thinking of Allah at the same time. My mind is not absent. Or I could be making dua, my tongue is moving, and I'm thinking, I'm saying this to Allah directly. My tongue is moving, my mind is present. With this, you get reward, and you have a massive process happening. You certainly start drawing closer to Allah. And this is, you know, this is really good zikr. Okay, any form of worship, tongue is moving, mind is present. You've now got, you know, you've got a lot of reward, and you're also drawing closer to Allah. The highest level is, the fourth level, okay, is when the tongue is moving, and the mind is present, and also I'm saying it from my heart, and I'm doing it with ikhlas, I'm doing it with sincerity, I'm doing it just for the sake of Allah. This is the highest level of dhikr, okay? So we can sometimes do dhikr in a gathering with others, that's fine, but when you do dhikr alone, when you are remembering Allah alone, and when you're doing it just for Allah's sake, and nobody knows, and you know, you don't want anyone to know about it, this is the highest form of dhikr. And in fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, at that moment, if you were to shed tears, then you're guaranteed to have your place under Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment. A sahih hadith of Muslim. Okay? ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَا. A person, male or female, they remembered Allah in secrecy, and they shed tears out of, you know, love of Allah, out of the fear of Allah. They got emotional, all right, and they start to shed their tears. They have got a place under the throne of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Okay, it's a very, very close position you have. Try and just remember Allah and become emotional. But this happens when a person is, you know, secret, and person doesn't want anyone to, you know about it. Now, today's world is a very, very terrifying world, because a lot of our ibadah ends up on social media, which shouldn't. Okay, which shouldn't. So, for example, you know, people who are doing tawaf, like taking selfie, Kaaba behind me, yo bro, look where I am, you know. Bro, you're in tawaf, you're in umrah. You know, why are you advertising your ibadah to others? There's people who start their salah, they'll tell someone else, take a picture of me while I'm in salah. You know what I'm saying? Look so cool, man. I want everyone to see how I look. Allah looks at our hearts, and you spoil your worship when you start to spread, you know, when you start to share it with others. It's not right. There are people even at iftar time, you know, all that meal in front of you, look at what I'm eating. Poor people across the world giving you a lot of ayn, you know, giving you a lot of evil eye, I'm telling you, right? I don't know why you want to do that, share all of that. You know, there are people who don't have those kind of foods. It's not nice always to share all of that across the world. But you're doing iftar, it's an ibadah, right? You don't need to share every form of worship out there that you've got. So you spoil it when you start sharing with others. But nonetheless, what it is we're not supposed to tell others or advertise it. Just do it for the sake of Allah. I remember when I was an imam many years back in a masjid, and this uncle, he used to come sometimes to the masjid early in the morning. Yeah, he comes and he's got his, you know, his back, holding his back, and he's got a bit of, you know, back pain or something. So somebody says, "Uncle, what's the matter? Are you okay? It's Fajr time. You okay?" "Yeah, I just did too many rakats of tahajjud last night, and my back." It's like, what in the world? Why are you advertising your tahajjud in the masjid? And this is a serious thing. I'm shocked. Why are you advertising your tahajjud early in the morning to all the other musallis? "I did too many rakats, like too many." Okay, uncle, take it easy next time, innit? Like, why are you adding the rakats and the coming and advertising in the masjid? But then you end up in riyah, which is showing off, and you spoil your ibadah. Anyway, so now I've given you four different levels of dhikr. Let's quickly go over them so you remember them. What's the lowest level? When the tongue is moving, mind is absent. Okay, what's level number two, higher one? The tongue is still, the mind is present. Okay, what's the higher one than that? The tongue is moving and the mind is present. And what's the highest one? The tongue is moving, mind is present, And we're saying it with sincerity, ikhlas from the heart. Okay, this is the highest level. Now, you've got one more thing to add to this for your own goodness, which is you can add a sweetener to dhikr. Dhikr or any form of worship, you can make it a little bit dry or you can make it, you know, enjoyable. Like when we recite the Quran, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never told us to recite it just as we recite, we read a book. No, he said put a tune to it. Right, so you don't say ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. No, you say ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So you put your own tune to it. Now, any form of worship that you want to put a tune to it, welcome. Put it, especially when you're doing dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you're in salah, you want to engage yourself. Just think, even if you're reciting just on your own, just in your mind, just think of a beautiful tune reciting to Allah. It electrifies your ibadah. So you're in a sujood. Instead of saying Subhan Rabbil A'la, Subhan Rabbil A'la, just think of this. Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. It electrifies the ibadah just by thinking of it. Think of your favorite qari when you're standing in salah, and as if you're reciting like your favorite qari, it will really electrify your ibadah. Okay? The same way, when we sit with tasbih, instead of saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, whatever, you can say Subhanallah walhamdulillah, Subhanallah walhamdulillah, Subhanallah walhamdulillah, Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Now you adding your tune, it's your sweetener of dhikr. All the four levels you've got, and plus you put your sweetener. Okay, it's like, you know, you made a whole cup of tea. You put the water, you put the, you know, tea bag in there, you put the milk and all that, and then in the end you put the sugar there. That's what gives you the taste. Okay, so you want the taste of dhikr. I'm sorry, some of you are thinking cup of tea in month of Ramadan. So what you want to do is you want to put the sweetener of your dhikr, which is your personal tune. Now some of you are going to be like, well, I don't have a good tune. I'm like, you know, Mr. Broken Voice, I don't have a good tune. Look, Allah's never going to judge you on your tune. Though you've got a broken tune, though you've got a broken voice, though you're not so melodious, though you're not so great in saying it like that, like somebody else, Allah will not judge you on that. Just like right now, you're fasting. If some of you were to talk to the guy next to you, they'd probably drop dead because of your bad breath. But Allah does not judge you on your bad breath. It's not like, you know, you fasted the whole day, my servant fasted, but because of the bad breath, you get 1 out of 10, you know, like. It's not like that, okay? You're not going to get judged on your bad breath. Why am I saying this? Because the hadith of Bukhari says what? The hadith of Bukhari says, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ السَّائِمِ. The bad breath of a fasting person in the month of Ramadan, their bad breath, Allah detects it, just to make us feel good, Allah detects it like the sweet fragrance of musk. Hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Not that Allah doesn't know we have bad breath, of course He knows it, but just to make us feel good. Right? Make us feel good. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in that authentic hadith, Allah will treat your bad breath as fragrant of musk. Why? Because He sees the sacrifice behind it. He sees what we tried to do for Him and we ended up with bad breath. By the way, anyone who has any bad breath, I'm going to give you a quick way of getting rid of your bad breath. You ready for this? Nobody said yes because you all got bad breath. Because you thought if I speak right now, everyone's going to be dead in this hall. Quick thing is miswak. Siwak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We pick it up, okay, the miswak that you've got. Brush your teeth and then brush your gums, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then stick your tongue out. It's a sunnah. A lot of people don't know about this. And you brush the top part of your tongue. You brush your gums. Okay, why? Because there's a lot of thick saliva on your tongue, on your gums. And when I say gums, you can brush everywhere in your mouth with the soft miswak stick. And what it will do, it will take all of the sticky saliva from within your mouth. That's your bad breath. And you try and do that, you'll see you will have no bad breath. Okay, a quick tip for you to get along with. Inshallah, let's get back to the topic, which is 4 levels of dhikr, and then you put your sweetener, which is you are now putting your voice to it. So you can say, whichever one you want, you can say, Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Guys, if you join me there, you wouldn't go to hellfire, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, guys, just chill out. You know what I'm saying? And some people are like, bid'ah, bid'ah. Look, I'm not here to start a cult, all right? I'm not here to say I'm Guru Hassan. When I wave my hands to the right, you will wave to the right. When I wave to the left, you will wave to the left. I'm going to march you whichever direction I want to take you in. There's no, you know, movement starting here. It's me teaching you about what dhikr is in our religion. You will find your own tune in your own time when you sit down. All I'm doing is giving you one method. This is one method, this is one way of doing dhikr, and this is for ta'aleem. This is for reason of trying to educate you, and that's it. That's the reason why. So please join me. It's a one-off, so it's not going to become a bid'ah, okay? Subhanallah walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. I've just said there, oh Allah, you subhanallah, you are so perfect. Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, I praise you and I thank you for everything. La ilaha illallah, oh Allah, there is no other God besides. I'm just telling you, you're the one and only. Allahu Akbar and oh Allah, you are the greatest. I put that all together and I said that to Allah, and I'll add another phrase, wala hawla, oh Allah, I have no way of staying away from sin. Wala quwwata, there's no way of me doing any good deed. Illa billah, except through you, O Allah, Al-Ali, the most high, Al-Azim, the most great. So, subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-Ali al-Azim. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Now what do you get in return of this, that you've said this phrase, okay? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that if you say the phrase Subhanallah walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar once, sahih hadith of Muslim, if you say it once, in return of that, it basically, these words are more beloved to Allah than whatever the sun rises above. Which means you get more than whatever the sun has seen. All right? Whatever the sun touches, with the sun rises above, you get more than that. So my sisters, you just got from that one phrase, not only your own gold and the gold of these sisters, you got the gold of all these sisters. Right? In fact, all the gold shops out there, they're all yours, just for saying that one phrase. In fact, you want to add in there, just throw inside the whole gold souk as well, the souk market inside there as well, right? Throw that in there, gold bullion as well. My brothers, you've been after your fast cars, right? All the Bugattis in the world, the Ferraris, the Porsches in the world, all the best cars that you've ever wanted in the world, throw them all in, bag it all in. In fact, throw the whole of Dubai inside as well, right? Throw the whole of California inside there as well. All the markets that are out there, the stock markets, whatever they're worth, throw it all inside. You've got more than that. Throw all the holiday destinations in there, the holiday homes that you love, all right, the places that you would love to have go to, you know, you'd love to go to. All those in there, the mansions, the beautiful places, the islands, wherever you want to go, Allah's given you more than that just by saying once, Subhanallah walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. Now the next phrase, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What do you get for that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in a hadith of Bukhari, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah is a treasure box from the treasure boxes of Jannah. For that you just receive an entire treasure box that is full. Full treasure box with all the you know, precious stones in there. Allah will give you that just for saying it once. Just for saying Subhanallah once, you get a tree in Jannah. I just heard nobody say Subhanallah for that. You're thinking, Sheikh, what am I going to do with the tree? Huh? What am I going to do with the tree? A tree which you don't know what that tree is, and that's why you just sat there. Oh, Subhanallah, get one tree. Is that it? A tree, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes in a hadith, he says that the roots of all these trees in Jannah, they're made of gold. And you can see them. The fruits are hanging exactly where you want them. You're reclining, you just do that, the fruit is just where you want it. The servant gives you the second fruit from the same tree. And you say, this is in hadith, you say to the servant, hey, why are you giving me the same, from the same tree you're giving me another fruit? Man's getting spoiled in Jannah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah? So the servant says, go and taste it. And the person tastes the fruit, it's more delicious than the first fruit. Imagine when we've gone through this whole of this world. We've gone through hundreds of years of the grave. We come up on the day of judgment. And we go through thousands of years. And then we come to the bridge of hellfire. We cross all of that. We're now at the doors of Jannah. It is so big, the door of Jannah. Allah said, عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The width of that door, Allah, or the width of that Jannah is going to be like the width of the heavens and the earth. And the door itself has been explained in a hadith. It's from this earth to the sky that we see. That's how big it is. In a separate hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the fragrance of Jannah can be detected from 500 miles away. We're smelling that fragrance, me and you, all of us. Inshallah, bidina will be there. We'll be there, inshallah. Say inshallah. But the big regret that every single one will have, and Prophet sallallahu said, every person will have this regret, is as we're approaching Jannah and we see what people got in Jannah. We haven't entered Jannah yet. We're seeing it from a distance. Wow, that guy got this for that. That guy got this for subhanAllah. That guy got this for la ilaha illallah. That guy got that for subhanAllah wa bihamdi. That guy got that for istighfar. This guy got this for salawat and Prophet. When we see the amount of what people have got from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, we're all going to regret, why didn't I spend more time in the dunya, more time in the world doing the dhikr of Allah? My friends, in the grave, doing all this dhikr is not going to help us. On the day of judgment, it's not going to help us. Only on this dunya, in this world, it will help us. Now, once we enter Jannah, that feeling inside us of, you know, missing out and so on, Allah will take it away. Allah will take away something called ghil, which is the competition we have between ourselves, which is the thing that gives us our jealousy. Allah will take that away. So don't worry, my friend, if you enter in Jannah and you got more than the next man, you're in Firdaus, you can rest assured that guy from downstairs, from Jannah to Ma'wa, is not going to come tonight and rob you. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to be like, oh my God, my huri is missing. Oh my God, who took it? And you're going to be all right, okay? Allah will take that competition, that jealousy out. You'll be fine in Jannah, bi-idhnillah. But we will regret, why didn't we do more dhikr of Allah and connect our minds more with Allah in this dunya? Now, there is Allah Azza wa Jal, anytime we call Him, Allah is always responding back. Now look, Allah knows us anyway, but He says this in the Holy Quran. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah says, you come into my remembrance, you do my dhikr, I will do your remembrance, I will come to your dhikr. Imagine you do salah, Allah never does salah. You fast, Allah never fasts. You give sadaqah, zakah, Allah never does any of that. He doesn't do any of that. But you do the dhikr of Allah, Allah will make special mention of you. What does it mean that Allah will do your dhikr? Allah will be in your remembrance. It means Allah will give you special attention. Allah will give you guidance. Allah will give you mercy. Allah will give you specific, you know, something very special, special way of remembering us with kindness, with mercy and so on. This is what Allah does. And a hadith of Bukhari explains it further. Allah says in the hadith of Qudsi, in Bukhari, Allah says, I am as my servant thinks me to be. My slave, the way my slave thinks me to be, I will be according to that. And when my servant remembers me, when they are connecting their minds with me, when they're remembering me doing my dhikr, I am with them when they remember me. I'm going to ask you right now to say this, just to call Allah Azza wa Jal and say, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Guys, we're only calling Allah, come on. Ya Allahu, Ya Allah, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Ya Allahu, Ya Allah, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. Ya Allahu, Ya Allah, Ya Allahu, Ya Allah. You just said that right now. My brother, I'm going to ask, what's your name? Yeah. Saeed. Allah said, Ya Saeed. You said, Ya Allah. Allah said, Ya Saeed. What's your name over there? Yasin. Allah said, Ya Yasin. Allah said, Ya Fatima. Allah said, Ya Zainab. Allah said, Ya Mustafa. Allah said, Ya so-and-so, so-and-so. Whatever your name is, Allah took your name. The hadith of Bukhari explains, فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. When my servant, when my slave remembers me in their mind, I will remember them in my exalted being. I will remember them. وَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ. If my servant remembers me in a gathering, ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْ. I will remember my servant in a gathering better than that, which is the gathering of the angels. وَإِنْ, the hadith continues, وَإِنْ تَقَدَّمَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا. If you move, if I move towards Allah, one span's length, Allah says, تَقَدَّمْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. Allah says, I will move one arm's length towards my servant. وَإِنْ تَقَدَّمَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا. If my servant moves towards me one arm's length, تَقَدَّمْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. I will move two arms full towards my servant. وَإِنْ أَتَانِي مَشْيَا. If my servant walks towards me, أَتَيْتُهُ حَرْوَلَا, I will run towards my servant. What's happening in the process of this dhikr, when my mind connects with Allah, my tongue is moving with Allah's remembrance, is Allah is drawing closer to me. Not that Allah is not close. Yes, Allah is already close to me. Allah is already close to me. And I'm going to explain that to you in a little while, how Allah is close to me. Okay? But what I'm going to say to you right now is, we don't feel the closeness of Allah, though Allah is close to us, because of one major thing that we did. One thing that we did. Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. I am closer to the human being than his or her own jugular vein. Allah is already close to us. But why is it that I don't feel the closeness of Allah? Why don't you feel the closeness of Allah? It's because of the sins that we have committed. Minor sins create minor barriers between us and Allah. Major sins create major barriers between me and Allah. And the only way of getting rid of those barriers that we have is through the dhikr of Allah. Abu Darda, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that every stain has got a remover, and the remover of the stain of bad deeds and stain of sins is the dhikr of Allah, to actually connect our minds with Allah azza wa jalla. So no matter how sinful you're feeling, my brothers and sisters, be in the dhikr of Allah, stand up for salah, connect your minds with Allah, do dua, connect your minds with Allah, and you know, move your tongues and say from the heart. Do your tasbih, say the phrases to try and connect up with Allah. Read the Quran and try and keep the mind thinking that Allah is watching me all the time. And then the more we do this, the more it removes the sins, removes the barriers. We start to feel the closeness of Allah. That is the big process that we have that is now in place whenever we're doing the dhikr of Allah correctly. I've got a lot more to share with you, but I'm going to ask my brother Hassan to come to the front right now. He's going to talk to you for a few minutes, and I'm going to share with you quite a different few other adhkar that you can do, and something personal you can take with yourself as well and do on a regular basis and earn much reward for the akhirah. Jazakumullah khair. I'll see you in a few minutes.